Good evening. Once again, this class is Catching the Waves of Revival, Apostle Jonathan David. As always, and at the beginning of all the classes that I teach, I will always acknowledge Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., who is the founder of this school of ministry, and for the apostolic grace that's upon his life and the life of his family and all who are connected to him. It is always my prayer that you will receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, and that the apostolic grace that's upon this school of ministry would become a part of each and every one of your lives. Let us begin. We're going to finish with chapter number 17, Times of Reformation, which is the sixth stage of revival. Then we'll move to chapter number 16, which is Times of Restoration. Let's begin. Now, I told you on last class that God put it in my heart to make sure we rehearse this over and over so that the terms apostolic and prophetic don't become cliche-ish. The purpose of the apostolic is to create a heaven to earth government structure, which allows the portals of the supernatural to be open. An apostle structures that heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened and all of those who are connected can enter in and benefit. Now look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the apostles' fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Notice that in the book of the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles, it was important for the new believers to, number one, continue in the apostles' doctrine. Didn't say prophet, didn't say evangelist, it didn't say pastor, it didn't say teacher. When Jesus built the church, he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. The building materials for the church are people, because the church is the ecclesia. It's not a building made with hands, it's people. And so in order for the church to be built, the material selected first was foundational. The scriptures teach that the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. So notice that, number one, they continued steadfastly in the what? Apostles' doctrine. Well, what is doctrine? 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Write this down. You may see it on the quiz. Doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is the established order of God. So all doctrine in the church is to be established by who? The apostle. For in Acts 2:42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Jesus had multitudes following him, and there were disciples who became disciplined ones. And from those in prayer, all night long, he came back and he selected 12 men whom he ordained to be apostles. So the first gift that Jesus gave to the church and the foundational piece for building the church was who? Apostles. Are you listening? And in 1 Corinthians 12:27-28, it talks about the body of Christ. We're a many-membered body, but he set in the body first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healing, working of miracles, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, we're not going to go through that. I just want you to have this, that in all of these classes that you are partakers of, we must remember that it's all up under what? Apostolic grace. So doctrine is what? The established order of God. Number two, it says not only doctrine, but it also says what? Reproof. What is reproof? The dismantling of what? Erroneous thinking. If you are thinking, if our thinking is not in line with the word of God, only the word of God can correct it. Are you listening? We must gravitate to God's word. God said, I'm God, I change not. So if you're going to experience the fullness of the blessings of God, we must go through a complete, total metamorphosis of the mind. Then we have correction. Correction is the assimilation of truth in our what? Thought process. Notice these things deal with the mind, the soul, the will, the emotions. Then finally, we have instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness is the systematic application of God's word in our daily lives. Keep those things underneath your belt. That is the purpose of the apostolic, to establish us in doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be what? Thoroughly furnished to all good works. Now we've looked at chapter 18, the times of the revivalists. None of this happens without God's apostolic grace being ignited in the heart of a man who God calls the fire starter. That's in this book. You know, there's no revival without man. God chose man to carry out or to propagate the gospel, not angels. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 10, when you study the scriptures, you find out that Cornelius was praying and he saw an angel and he was troubled, but that angel told him, I want you to send for one Simon Peter, told him exactly where he was located. And watch what he said. When Peter would come, he would tell you words whereby you and your whole household would be saved. And we all know that Peter was who? An apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So now we move on to times of reformation, because the revivalist ushers in the time of restoration and the reformation and restoration. I'm going backwards. So go ahead, daughter.
The times of reformation
has to do with the reforming of the society that's around us. The revival is designed to bring God consciousness upon the society. This creates an awareness of God and God's, notice that, and of God's what? Requirements upon mankind. God have requirements that he places upon mankind. Mankind must gravitate to whose requirement? God's. That's the purpose of the apostolic, to move us from the secular to the supernatural. Are you listening? Most people have confidence in the government, and they don't realize that the real government is the government of God. Go ahead.
When the revival breaks out
upon our society, crime rates drop in that society. B, moral values are upheld as bars, brothels and clubs are seen closing down. See, marriages are held in what? Marriages are held in what? Now, y'all ought to know we're in the last day. Marriages are not held in honor. As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't want to get married. Y'all kind of quiet up here. Maybe some of y'all don't want to be married. Go ahead.
Marriage is held in honor.
Marriage is held in honor.
And family values are restored.
D.
Dramatic changes in lives.
Where sinners are transformed
into holy saints.
E.
Much community work
and projects
get organized
and people begin to relate
and to help each other
with their respective jobs.
F. Politicians,
mayors,
and council members
are seen dwelling more with the people
than in meeting rooms.
There's such a fear of God
and integrity
and in office
among these dignitaries.
G.
The spiritual climate
and the spiritual atmosphere
over the entire city
is conducive to widespread
evangelistic efforts.
Revival meetings
become the what?
The talk of the city.
And there is very little organized
opposition
or persecution that is taking place.
Number three,
the times of Reformation
are also times
when breakthroughs in science,
medicine,
and literature
takes place.
It is also time
when music breaks into its relevant mode,
fitting that particular generation.
Many scientific
and medical breakthroughs
happens during the supernatural visitations
of God
up on the society,
natural developments,
and financial prosperity
comes together with
revivals.
Many inventions
that break through out of deep necessity
is also seen
invented.
Books and literature
are widely distributed
on what God is doing.
And the teaching of biblical truths
are also what?
Widely circulated.
Number four.
The times of Reformation
are times when the whole society
is so deeply affected
and impacted by
the spiritual outpouring
that their business dealings
become godly.
A greater level of integrity
is seen while dealing with one another.
Often a high level of sacrifice
and generosity
is seen during revivals.
The times of Reformation
often sees a proper distribution
of food
and bare necessities
to those who are less fortunate
in the society.
The widows and the orphans
are given proper care,
social care,
and concern for the poor
rates up high
during the times of Reformation.
So in actuality, all seven revivals are designed to bring the church and society back to God's original plan,
the way God intended for things to be
from the beginning.
Go ahead. chapter 16, times of restoration.
The times of restoration
is the inevitable result
of allowing God to move us forward
into God's will and to his purpose. Now, it's important to notice, I've heard apostles say this, that there can be no restoration without reformation. Go ahead.
The times of restoration
helps us to be fully restored
and be brought back to what?
God's original plan. That's back to the Garden of Eden in our lives. No lack, no limitation, no poverty, no sickness, no disease, healthy minds. Are you listening? It's important to understand that these things happen in revival. And revivals are based upon the spiritual principle of continuance. So we're always in revival. The thing is, can you activate revival in your personal life? Go ahead.
In these times of restoration,
God restores back to us
all that the devil has stolen from us.
Now, I need to put a peg there to make you understand. The devil ain't giving you nothing. Everything you take, you're going to have to go to the enemy camp and take it. You're going to have to put on your spiritual big shoes, however y'all say, y'all know, your big girl shoes and your big boy pants, however you want worded. You're going to have to, see, the problem is the church been waiting on God to do what he's already done. The church has been sitting around talking about, Lord, we're waiting on you. God say, hell, I've been waiting on y'all since the beginning of time. Get a revelation. I've placed all this authority in man. I put all things under man's feet. Everything has been made in subjection to man. Man is designed to rule this creation. Man is designed to occupy till the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to bring heaven to earth, not teach you to go to heaven. Go ahead.
God also restores
all that we have lost
through our carelessness and sin.
Through who? Carelessness and what? And sin. So we lose things by being careless. You listening? That's the enemy's job, to steal stuff from you. Are you listening? It's our job to teach you how to get it back. Go ahead, daughter.
There are some things
that are forfeited
by virtue
of our own foolish choices
and
our own what? Carelessness. That's why the devil sat outside the church crying. He said, if church people be blaming me, I didn't do it. That was them. Are you listening? Matter of fact, the devil's so mad, the devil say, they blame me for stuff they do. Oh, Lord, y'all don't want to hear what I said. Y'all ready for this? They blame me for stuff they like doing. Go ahead.
Not everything
that was stolen from us
because of the devil.
Is because of who?
The devil.
Not everything that was stolen from us is because of the devil, so quit blaming it. Go ahead.
Sometimes when we fail
to possess our promises,
the enemy stays in as a squatter
on our inheritance. The enemy just move in and squat on what rightfully belongs to us because we refuse to deal with the error of our own carelessness and ways. Go ahead.
In the times of restoration,
we also receive
much more than we have lost.
Did y'all catch that?
Huh?
In restoration, you receive much more than what you lost.
God not only restores to you what you lost,
are you listening? There's a higher value.
Go ahead.
In 2 Kings chapter 8,
verses 1 through 6,
the king restored to the widow
all that she had lost in those 7 years. And also, and all that she could have gained if she had continued to stay there. Now, I don't know if y'all understand Jubilee, but Jubilee is time for you to go free. In Jubilee, you're restored back to your original state. See, we don't practice that down here. We're under a Babylonian system. We want to keep you in bondage. But it's time for God's people to be free. And not just morally free, but financially free. You listening? Go ahead. God is the God of restoration. Say that. God is the God of restoration. Go ahead. And God always restores more than what we have lost. Ask Job. He could tell you. Everybody preach about poor Job, how his children died, how his wife died, how he was suffering in his body, and how all of his wealth was taken. And they never get to the end of the story. Y'all remember Paul Harvey? I was a kid. I remember Paul Harvey. I believe it was on the national news. I don't know if it was CBS. I think it was. But he used to come on, maybe that was 60 Minutes. And he would come on at the end and he would talk about, now this is the rest of the story. The rest of the story, God restored back to Job more than he had lost. Are you listening? And that's God's intent during the times of revival. Go ahead.
A. Areas of divine restoration.
Areas of divine restoration.
Number one.
Man.
Redeemed man.
Redeemed man is fully restored
to the image.
And likeness of Christ.
Adam lost his glory.
Adam, the first Adam, lost his glory
and his potential
to become God's son.
Christ not only recovered
what Adam lost,
but also gained more
than what Adam could have achieved if Adam had not sinned. In Christ,
the redeemed man
not only gains all that Adam had lost,
but also gains
all that Christ have achieved. In other words, the last Adam restored back to us what the first Adam lost and even more. That's why the scriptures teach that we have a better covenant based upon better promises. And it would seem to me that the New Testament church should be way farther ahead in health, wealth, signs, wonders, miracles. Why is the church so far behind? Because the apostolic was left behind. We went to pastoral, evangelistic, and teaching. And the apostolic and the prophetic is designed to lay a foundation in our lives that teaches us heaven to earth government, that everyone have access. Everyone have access to the supernatural. Everybody can access the benefits of Psalm 103 verses 1-5. Read it sometime. Go ahead.
The redeemed man
is restored in
A.
His spirit.
A new spirit is given unto him.
B.
His image and his likeness.
God's nature, God's divine nature is in him.
C.
Spiritual relationship. Man cries out to God, Abba, Father. Why? Because the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with the Christ. Joint heirs. You know what joint means? Co-equal. We have the same standing with the Father based upon what the last Adam did. The first Adam fell, lost everything. The last Adam came to restore back to us our position of sonship. So St. John 14:1, which says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Huh? That's not talking about going to heaven, children. So unpack your heavenly bag. Are you listening? In God's house, there are many rooms. Many rooms. What? Well, guess who is the house of God? We are. We are the house of God. When the corporate church comes together, the scriptures teach that we are a spiritual house occupied by the Spirit of God. And if anything's going to happen in this earth realm, it's got to go through man. I don't have time to read all this to you. You read Hebrews 2:16 to the end of the chapter and see that Jesus took on flesh and blood so that we could be restored back to the original promise that God made to Abram. Go ahead. D.
Spiritual dominion.
We are anointed.
We are anointed
as kings and as priests. E.
Spiritual maturity.
Man can now go on to what? Perfection. Maturity.
F.
Prosperity.
The Lord work with them
and confirm their words
with signs and wonders
following. And God didn't leave the money out. Read Mark chapter 12, verses 40 through the end of the widow woman with the two mites. I don't know why you felt sorry for her. She cast in all of her living. How much she cast in? How much she cast in? Well, God been waiting for you to poke her it out. Y'all know what that mean? That's a modern term for put all your chips on God. Are you listening? Cash him in. God won't let you down. He won't fail you. See, everybody talk about the woman with the two mites. She cast in all her living. Last I checked in Mark chapter number 10, Jesus said, if you left all to serve and follow him, you receive 100-fold. Now in this life, hello, well, don't you think that woman qualified for the 100-fold return? So you really think that was the end of the story? Sometimes you got to read between the lines. God is trying to set you up for your miracle, and prosperity is a part of his plan. Go ahead, child. The second area of divine restoration is truth.
God is restoring truth.
Which he once entrusted to his church. The last 500 years or so, God has been progressively revealing to us the truth which we now call restorational truth. The Holy Spirit, during these times of restorational truth, has taught the believer day by day the aspects of truth
that are relevant for our lives.
Y'all want to know what one great truth statement is? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, you thought that was talking about Jesus. And I'm here in the apostolic to tell you he talking about you. Aren't you a son of God? Aren't you a daughter of God? Nobody's going to know God without you. Then there's another truth statement. And you shall know, St. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth. Well, who is the truth? Who is the way? Who is the life? It is the word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So all truth is found in a person, and that person is Jesus. It's not found in your church name, not found in your church organization. It's found in a person. And if ever a person is going to get to the truth, they got to get to Jesus. But they won't get to Jesus if they can't get him through you. Go ahead.
A.
A.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth.
He is the Spirit of truth.
He's the Spirit of truth. And there is no lie,
deception,
there's no deception,
evil,
and there's no evil in the Holy Spirit. Those who receive the Holy Spirit will have his nature of truth and integrity in them. B, the Holy Spirit is sent to guide us into how much truth? So the only, boy, that's something, huh? So if I'm not functioning in truth, what does that tell you? I'm functioning in another realm. I'm functioning in a realm outside of the Spirit. Go ahead. B. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth.
He will teach us on everything.
And he will teach us on everything
that is relevant to life and godliness.
He does not only teach us
the spiritual aspects of life,
but every aspect of life. Y'all know what that means? In all of your life situations and challenges, he's present. And instead of consulting with everybody else, consult with him. I want you to know he's supernaturally working on everything concerning you. That's what you get in the apostolic. You get solutions. The apostolic is full of solution, not problems, no matter how hard the problem is. I mean, when you're in a situation where you know you can't get out of, then you know what time it is. It's not prime time. It's God time. Good God Almighty. Go ahead.
He is the educator.
He's the educator. He's the instructor
of all knowledge.
If we care to believe. See,
the Holy Spirit will not speak
on his own initiative.
The Holy Spirit is the revelator of Christ's word.
The Holy Spirit is the revelator or the revealer of Christ's word, which he speaks to us.
This is the revealed truth.
The Holy Spirit is the person
who brings unto us the heavenly manna
and reveals to us
the heavenly blueprint.
Whatever transpires between the Father and the Son
is made known
or revealed unto us
by the Holy Spirit.
Without the Holy Spirit,
the Father's relationship
with the Son
cannot be understood.
That's a powerful statement.
St. John 6:63,
it is the Spirit that quickeneth.
The flesh profits nothing.
This is Jesus speaking.
The words that I speak unto you,
they are spirit and they are life.
But then you got to go to St. John 16, you read over there, 13 through about 15 or 12 through 15,
where he say, there are many things I have to say unto you, but you're not able to bear them now.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead and guide you into all truth.
For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear is what he speaks.
Well, there's your first line of faith.
The Holy Spirit speaking to you what he hears.
So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by.
Well, when the word of God, who's the Lord Jesus Christ, speaks to the Holy Spirit to speaks to us, then you got truth, baby. Go ahead.
The Holy Spirit reveals to us
the Father's love
for the Son.
D.
The Holy Spirit speaks what he hears.
This is called the present truth.
Faith rests upon the now words of Christ.
Y'all know why most people get behind?
They don't have a now word.
You cannot, oh Lord have mercy.
Yesterday's revelation is to be built upon.
You don't throw it away.
You build upon, you add to.
Are you listening?
You don't drift away from or slip.
Are you listening?
This is not marbles.
When I was a little boy, you used to play marbles.
You used to claim slipses.
That's to keep from losing the rest of your marbles.
Robin, you know, but okay.
Go ahead.
The Holy Spirit gives.
I don't know if y'all had marbles when that was coming. Okay. Go ahead.
The Holy Spirit.
I'm a little older than some of y'all, huh? They went, well, I'm pastor. I don't know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
The Holy Spirit gives us the right words.
The Holy Spirit always gives us the right words of the season. And he helps us to stay in tune with God's heavenly agenda. E, the Holy Spirit discloses to us what is to come. He is the revelator of prophetic truth. We can know the future only if we're listening attentively to him. You know why? Because he not only leads you and guides you into all the truth, he will show you things to come. I don't know why people so focus on this government. Like this government is everything. I tell you who government is everything. God is. And when this government, democracy, or any other government choose not to honor God as God, that government is headed for failure. Go ahead. He who has an ear to hear, let him be hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. You listening? Or saith. A constant, continuous flow of hearing from heaven by God the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Number three. The third area of divine restoration is the church. God is restoring the church to her fullness of capacity. God is restoring her relationship and establishing it in intimacy. The church is learning to walk as the bride of Christ. God is restoring to the church her ministry and her ministers. Arising in power and in purity. They're becoming God's mouthpiece as they walk in the anointing of the prophets. God is restoring the church's capacity of service as she learns to minister unto him as a priest. God is restoring to the church her militancy, causing her to violently push back the gates of hell. She learns to walk in the kingly anointing. Now I want to say something right here because I'm hearing it clearly. The church is not only designed to push back. The church is designed to go on the offensive and take over. See, the problem with pushback is we always think, let the enemy come, then we push back. Hell no. We are a church that hell can't prevail against. So if something can't prevail against me, that means I'm advancing. It's trying to stop me, but it don't have the power to do so. Amen. I'm glad you're in here. Go ahead.
In these last days,
the church will rise above. The power and glory
of the church in the book of Acts.
Now you got to see all that went down to understand this. The church in the last day gonna rise above that. Go ahead.
The church which began in Acts
will climax in the latter glory as prophesied by the prophets.
The church will become
the expression of the fullness of God. Let me go on. See, a lot of things is futuristic. The church is. See, we are the church. The church is not gonna be. The church is. The church is what he is. You listening? But the church must be saturated in revelation knowledge. The church must take upon itself its divine nature and function from an apostolic grace that cannot be stopped. There's no class next week. We will be in the midst of the prosperity revival. Enjoy your evening.